What's up, everybody? I'm super excited. My new book, That's Crazy. No, That's God, has officially launched. Bam, 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 bam. Listen, I just brought it back for all of y'all who've been missing the sound. But let me tell you something. This book is going to ignite your faith. You need to tell every single person you know to get the That's Crazy, No, That's God book. I'm telling you, it's going to ignite your faith. It's going to show you how to see what's already there. It's going to show you how to listen to the voice of God and be led by the Spirit into the supernatural. Not just in big moments, but in your everyday life. Because the planet's going to say, that's crazy. And you, your friends, your family, they're all going to say, no, that's God. Go get the book now. Peace. Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real. Hey, what's going on? We are back. If we were going to give it a title, it's Prejudging When You Think You Know, But You Don't. So, what is prejudging? With me in the studio, as always, Pastor Stephanie.
Hi.
Listen, I was, you know, I hope everybody watched the dating show. You know, that was it.
The dating show?
Maybe the show where you talked about dating. Yeah. And then we followed up. Did you know that Rhea and Ernesto followed up with dating, but for men?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's cool. No,
yeah, because we were like, what are we talking about? And I was like, well, it was two women talking about dating.
Yeah.
Maybe the flip side of that. One day we got to talk about dating from the aspect of, you know, because I feel like what men struggle with. And maybe letting the ladies know. And then the ladies, you know, because I feel like if everybody was aware, we'd do better.
You have to accurate. And I feel like even in the dating thing, I was thinking about, I don't know why I was thinking about it this morning too, where I'm like, people take it as like it's an individual thing, but I really think it's like a group project. You know what I mean? Like, don't do it by yourself.
Oh, no. Facts. Dating is more than two people.
Yeah, because people pop up and they're like, oh, y'all are dating. And it's just like, oh, who knew? Like, that was a, you know, one-on-one decision, you know? But I feel like it's a group project, dude. Like,
well, yeah. And that kind of even goes with what, it kind of goes, right? Because I think you used to say, man, what if, you know, if two people are talking, that doesn't mean that automatically they're dating.
And yeah.
You know, now sometimes some people make it weird and they make it look like that. But
yeah.
Even to what we're talking about today, they will prejudge. Yeah, they'll be like, those people right there. Yeah, they're about to. Then they hit you with the, you're getting married. You're like, I just said hi. Which, you know, a lot of people do that. And I think it creates more problems.
Yeah, it does. It becomes like a whole culture of like, oh, well, we're dating. And so when's the wedding? And then they get married. And when are the kids? And so it's just like you're just always having this, I guess, expectation or judgment of like, this is what it should look like. Instead of just finding out where people are.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you get unnecessary pressure.
Yeah.
Because imagine if everybody else was like, hey, what if everybody was aware of Christian, like being a Christian and talking to somebody, and then you wouldn't get that pressure because everybody would be like, oh, make sure you take your time. You know, imagine everybody was saying that. Then you would feel a little more comfortable.
I hope to see that culture shift in my lifespan. I think it can happen. Because in 30 years, I have not seen it. I've seen it a little bit. You know, change just from being in church my whole life, you know, but it's definitely better than what it was.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was reading a thing. We're going to have to talk about that because I was reading a thing where, like, it was the Barna study group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just got it yesterday and I was, like, reading it. And I was, like, blown away how now there's a lot of people that, they don't talk about marriage and stuff. They just won't do it. And so they're just like, we're living together. And there's more of that.
Yeah, no, I mean more so on like on the Christian culture
side,
of like not being like,
these are Christians.
Oh, y'all are dating, you know,
like, and they're Christian,
you know, and so when are you getting married? You know, I feel like there's a little bit more talk of take your time, get to know someone, da da da, you know. So
I looked up prejudging so that we could get a little bit of a context, which is kind of what we're even saying. So prejudging, making conclusions without context. It's kind of interesting because a lot of times people read the word like that. They'll read it without context. And so then they'll mess up even what it says. So to say that people do that in real life is probably accurate as well, right? Making conclusions without context, facts, relationship, or love. It's forming an opinion faster than the Holy Spirit can form compassion in you. It's the flesh's shortcut to feeling superior.
Yeah.
When you prejudge something. Mm-hmm. And so a couple key scriptures, 1 Samuel 16:7, a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In other words, your eyes lie, but God don't. But God's eyes don't, right? Matthew 7:1-5, Jesus is saying, don't ever judge. In Matthew 7:1-5, that's when he's talking about pulling the plank out. Mm-hmm. You know, you're pointing out a plank. You're pointing out a speck when you got a plank in your own eye. So don't judge from a place you refuse to examine. And so you can't help people that you look down on is the average thing. And then my last scripture is James 2:1-4, where it talks about partiality or favoring people and then rejecting other people, right? So you start favoring the people maybe that look a certain way and you start rejecting other people, and it calls it a sin. And so it reveals a broken value system, not discerning the heart. So why do we judge? Why do you think we judge?
I like what you said about it being your opinion, formulating an opinion, right? Before uh-huh. getting all of the facts.
Yep.
I think we're just self-centered in a lot of things. And so we tend to go by our lens, our yeah. judgment, sure. you know, and what we would maybe expect or prefer a situation to look like, or someone, you know, to carry themselves in a certain manner, you know, instead yeah. of actually knowing the facts of, you know, the situation and who that person is, or what, you know, what's the reality of the circumstance, you know, because our opinions, I feel like, are like our feelings. They're just indicators. So you can have an opinion, but it doesn't mean that it's a fact, you know.
Totally. You know, do you think insecurities create false stories? You know, because I guess, you know, because we've been doing a lot of strength stuff, and I guess in the whole marriage mediation stuff, we do a lot of, like, you know, strengths for people. Because let's say, I'll give you an example. So I'm like, woo, you know, mm-hmm. like I go into a room, I kind of light it up. It's like, this is what I normally do. Like, I don't even have to try, right? It's just mm-hmm. who I am, like encouragement and all this stuff. And at one point, before my wife knew it was a strength, and I could say it the other way too, until we learned each other's strengths, she kind of rejected it, and mm-hmm. she kind of wanted me, like, tone it down. Like, why don't you, you know, so I was, like, trying to become something I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so it would create these fights, you know. But mm-hmm. I've also learned that the more we become aware of some of those things, then, you know, there's less bumping heads, because, you know, okay, this person, this is the way this person thinks, this right. is the way this person is. Mm-hmm. So in that same context, I've realized that a lot of times people felt a certain way, or we've bumped heads, or something happened where they got a certain way, and it wasn't anything I was doing, it was their insecurities.
Yeah.
So it created, like, false stories about me mm-hmm. while talking.
Yeah.
You know, that turned into, but it really was them dealing with themselves.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, because how you perceive something, you know, is, like, kind of dictates your, you know, emotions and how you handle situations, conversations, all of that, right? Sure. So if you don't, if you're not aware of your own insecurities or your own strengths, right, of just in differences in everybody's unique, you know, design, that yeah. you're not going to have, you know, 100 Stephanies or 100 Juans, you know sure. what I mean? Like, there's going to be some people who maybe have that same strength or whatever, but not everybody's going to operate the same way. And I think, I don't know, that's something to celebrate. That's not really something for us to get on the defense about on the offense of it.
Yeah.
Of, like, if someone sees something differently than me, then there has to be something that God put in them that equips them for something different, you totally. Know? So it's like looking at those strengths, and even in marriage and in friendships and, you know, work relationships, all of that is to look at it as how God designed.
Yeah. You know, because you know, another thing, I guess, that lately, you know, there's these scripture verses that I theme out, like 2 Timothy 2:24, maybe like 2 years I was, like, just learning it, you know. Mm-hmm. I would learn other stuff, but that was my thing. And so here lately a lot has been the whole wisdom and being quick to listen to God's mm-hmm. wisdom. And I always tell people that in that chapter, you know, you're being quick to listen to God's wisdom, because, you mm-hmm. know, in the beginning it talks about various trials. So that means that most of the time when something goes wrong, you know, rather than, like, reacting to, in order for a person to live by faith, he has to respond. And to respond, that means you have to pause.
Yeah.
Usually we fall into the, you know, we start fighting, and then mm-hmm. then we want to pause.
Yeah.
Then we go to God. But if we start learning how to pause first, then we would probably come back. Let's say we're both like upset and we're like, hey, give me a minute. And then you go to God and you seek out wisdom. That's how you seek out the kingdom, because you're going to him and you're trying to inject the word into whatever situation. Yeah. A lot of times you realize that it was you that was wrong.
Yeah,
and the argument never really happens when you do it that way. And so, you know, I put here because insecurities create false stories. If I'm offended, you know, when people are offended, the assumption is that automatically the person in front of them is wrong, right? Because that's where the fight starts happening. That's, you know, it's kind of wild, but boom, we're offended. So it's like, you're wrong. And so now we're playing this game of like, who's right? And then, you know, sometimes those things escalate and blow up or it causes isolation. And it's a false narrative because pretty much you start prejudging the person that's in front of you because you think that because you're offended, you're right, in a sense. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I think even just, I'm trying to formulate it in my mind too, because even just the word offended, you know what I mean? Like, I guess bothers me even some because it's like, I mean, it's different. Somebody says something to you, man, that offended me. You know, like they came and they attacked you. That's what I hear when I think of offense. Like, and so when I think, because I don't know about sports, but there's a defense and there's offense, right? And so offense is like towards, right? It's like an attack thing. And so when I hear, if it's brothers and sisters in Christ, or it's a husband and wife, or it's a friend, to even say like, you offended me, or I'm offended, I feel like it just automatically puts us on opposing teams. And that blows my mind because it's like, maybe I feel offended because of something that you said, but I'm not going to believe that you offended me because you're either my spouse or you're my friend who cares about me or you're my, you know, coworker or somebody who believes in me. So just even the, to sit in that of like, man, you know, I'm offended, is being like, man, I believe that this person doesn't love me. I believe that this person doesn't care about me, you know? So I mean, that, I guess, I don't know where that goes in that conversation.
I mean, that's why biblically it talks about our fight is not against, it tells us that our fight is against flesh. You can be aware that your fight is not against flesh and blood. It tells you to pray for your enemies because at some point you're going to feel even your spouse is kind of enemy-ish. It's the opponent almost, right? But rather than falling into the fight, you pray.
An opponent. That's the kind of thing, too, where I'm like, the moment I feel like we accept it, not so much feel it, because I know that we're going to feel offended, you know, or we might offend someone. But I feel like the moment that we accept that I am offended or you offended me is accepting that that person is my opponent and they're my enemy. And so I don't like that because I'm like, I might, hey, I felt offended maybe because of my own insecurities or because I'm sensitive and your tone or whatever the case is, right? But to just accept it and be like, you offended me. You know, I'm like, I take that as like a diss on like loyalty and friendship because you're just like, what? Really, dude? Like, you really think I offended? You know what I mean? Like, why would I be opposing you? Why would I come against you?
And I mean, you know, we're all human. So, you know, we get the flesh. You know, I think something you said, you know, we're not led by our feelings. And it's something that you always see posted, but you're supposed to live that way. So offenses will come, Jesus said. Like, he's like, offenses are going to come, but don't fall for the trap. Right? So in order not fall for the trap, you have to kind of have the mind of Christ. You have to put things in proper context. So now we get into the thing of you have to communicate. But what we like to do, another point I put, is we fill in blanks God wanted to fill. So instead of asking questions, we just assume the motive. Like, we start assuming things. I think, and I don't know if I could say this, but, you know, I had this
I'm like, I don't know what you're going to say.
Well, have you ever heard, like, when you assume, you make a
an ass out of you and me.
A donkey out of you and me, right? Like, and that's, I mean, pretty accurate, you know. Like, I just didn't know, you know, I don't know if a kid's watching, and then he's like, he said he said donkey, you know. You know, I could say King James, actually, you know, but so instead of asking questions, we assume motives. Instead of praying, we start predicting. Instead of loving, we start labeling, which is kind of your thing when it comes to the single stuff of the whole label, you know. We label everything, right? We're like, this person is this, this person is that, without asking the questions. And so I think that's even wrong, right? We don't want to ask. We don't really, I feel like sometimes, because that's communicating.
Well, it's the assumption, right? Of like, oh, they did this and it made me think this or feel this, and so this is why they did it, instead of being like, hey, why did you say that? You know, or like, why did you think that whenever, you know, we spoke about this, or what made you respond that way when I said this, you know? Yeah. I'm a big questions person.
Oh, no. Yeah. And people don't like you for it. They don't like you for it.
Yeah. I'm like, people get offended by me asking a ton of questions too. Yeah. Because I'm like, wait, why?
Yeah.
They're like, you're questioning me, or you're doubting, or you don't trust. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I just, you know, I need to understand, you know, I have to ask questions.
I am wired like this.
Yeah. But it happens. But it is best to at least ask a question, you know? Oh, no, like,
totally. Yeah. Like, I think we can, because here's the thing. We confuse discernment for being pretty much suspicious, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I remember, like, I don't know, my life's really great doing it the Jesus way. But this is probably my first relationship, like, in my life, mm-hmm. where I'm not, like suspicious about, you know, like, let me look at the phone. And, mm-hmm. you know, because if you try to find it, you're going to weird yourself out. You're going to find it. You're going to be like, that person was, you know, you just can't.
Why did you use that emoji?
Like, yeah. So discernment is pretty much when you get insight from the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. you know, suspicion, it's this wounded heart imagination, right? Or like insecurity. It's all these imaginations, because mm-hmm. that's what he tells us to pull down. So that means you're going to get them.
Yeah.
And if you don't ask the questions, then those imaginations are going to be real.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you judge things.
And I think it's important to just start with you, right? Of like not going into the other person's intentions or their weaknesses or their strengths, of like, hey, this is how I heard this, or this is how I received it. You know, or this is how I perceived it, and I'm gonna just be straight up with you, you know, like, it hurt my feelings when you said that, or hey, you know, came off a certain way, or you know, it looks this way when I look at this, you know, about you or whatever. And so starting with a you perspective, I think, helps in those conversations and in that communication, instead of just being like, hey, you offended me when you did this, and it's just like, well, dang, I didn't think that I was doing that, you know.
Yeah. So
it's
I guess I've seen a lot. I could have kept that a lot longer. But, you know, where I think we were having this conversation. And then, like, I just kind of, before we started the show, I kind of threw at you that it's happened to me too. Like, let's say you know a person. Mm-hmm. Wow, this can go in three different ways. But we'll start here. Let's start here. This is what happens when in your life, you know, it's like people. Right. Yeah. So you're trying to figure out, you carry a burden to try to help people. So you got to figure this out somehow. Right. Through the word. But, you know, you could be walking. Have you ever walked with somebody and then
I have no clue where we're going.
Okay. You ever walked with somebody? I've walked before. Yeah. Have you ever walked with somebody? And you know the ins and outs of the person, mm-hmm. right? So you know how they are. You know where they started. You know, you're like, man, you know, they're growing. But this person maybe doesn't hang out with everybody else. So let's look in a church setting. You're walking with them.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the story. Nobody has seen their battle. Nobody has seen their behavior, how it really was. You know, they just got here. And you've been walking with them a year and a half, 2 years. And then all of a sudden, they become part of the church. And they have an encounter with somebody else. And then that person instantly labels and instantly says, like, oh, you know, them right there, this is the way they are. Mm-hmm. And almost rip the growth, you know. And then you get a little like, you know, then offense does come, because you're like, you want to almost protect. And you're like, no, this person has grown.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it happens all the time. Yeah. I think it happens all the time, honestly, where, you know, I shared with someone this week, there's a picture that had gone around of like equality versus justice. Mm. And it's like all these little animals lined up on a fence and they're trying to see. So equality is they're all given the same size stool. Yeah. So the giraffe has the same size stool. The elephant has the same size stool. So not everyone gets to see over the fence because they wanted equality. They wanted the same size stool. Mm. But then the flip side of the picture is justice. And so where, you know, the giraffe doesn't need the same size stool. The elephant, you know, needs a little bit of a bigger one. The monkey definitely needs a bigger one because he really can't see. He's a lot smaller. And I feel like that's how it is in our lives and walks with people, of like, you want someone, you want to judge someone, or you want to put expectations or a measure of where they should be based off of your perception of where you think that that person should be. Whereas if you actually know someone and you walk with them, that measure is like, man, to you is 2 inches. To us, it's a mile, you know, because you know how long it's taken for someone to maybe overcome a certain struggle or to, you know, achieve some sort of honesty and vulnerability, you know, and all that sorts of stuff. And so we like when it happens to us, but we don't like doing it to others. So oftentimes my conversations with people is that little bit of a reminder, and maybe, you know, forgive me if I'm, you know, jacked up in that way, but I like doing that because I'm like, anytime somebody shares the problem that they have with someone else, I'm like, well, what about when you had an issue? How did people treat you? How did people look at you? How would you have, you know, liked for someone to judge or walk alongside you when you were still struggling with X, Y, Z, you know? And so I think quickly we forget, and then we pull out this ruler of measure of like, man, people need to be like this, where it's like, it doesn't matter if it was, you know, an inch of growth. That's still growth. Don't go measuring based off of your own desires,
your own standard. We create our own standard. We don't go to like the word, like, and which, you know, I think I was talking to you this morning. I was doing a Bible study with people about, and maybe I'll do a show on it or something, but you know, the difference between 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Corinthians 3, where in 1 Corinthians 2, he's talking to a bunch of people who are natural minded, and he's like, you could only learn the things of God by way of the Spirit. And so here you have a person who doesn't believe. And then he goes to 3 and he's starts talking to babies in Christ. And I mean, he lays down this long thing, which when you read it, you kind of become aware of like, okay, there's a bunch of baby Christians on this planet that think are really mature just based on, you know, he's like, man, you guys are dividing each other. There's envy and strife. There's jealousy. And I'm like, that sounds like social media Christianity, you know? It's like, oh my God. And, but he, pretty much, let's say you are dealing with a carnal Christian. In today's time, if you're spiritual and you're maturing enough, you can kind of look at that and understand, okay, they're immature. You just won't label them false. Because, you know, because that pretty much he's saying that there is carnal Christians, right? And they're gonna, their reward is very little, and they're probably going to be frustrated all the time. And they'll make it. He says they'll get saved. But that's, sometimes you're dealing with that, and we will judge that incorrectly, you know, we'll become suspicious rather than discerning it,
right? And I feel like it's funny because I feel like that happens a lot in our early walk with Christ. All of a sudden, we get the veil torn away from our eyes, and so then now we see everyone else, because I was guilty of it 100%.
Yeah, totally.
You know, of like, everyone needs to go to church. You know, now I'm going to church, everyone needs to go to church. Now I'm not drinking, everyone needs to stop drinking, you know? And it's just like, hold on, you know? Like, live out your process, and then everyone's going to have their own once that, you know, God has that time for them. But I feel like, I think we spoke about it in another show of like, I think it's Paul getting closer to his, you know, maturity in Christ, of being like, man, the more I see Christ, the more, the less I think of myself, you know? And so it's like, the more we mature in Christ, the less, the more we're able to see someone else and be like, oh man, like this is where they are, and not this is where I think that they should be. You know, it's like kids and parenting, you know, I always try to use that example, even though we use it a lot, but I'm like, don't expect a, you know, 6-year-old out of a 3-year-old. If you're expecting a 6-year-old out of a 3-year-old, that's on you.
Yeah, you're putting
You're the crazy person to think that, you know, the 3-year-old can turn on the stove. You can expect that out of a 10-year-old. But if you're sitting there arguing the 3-year-old that, hey, why didn't you turn on the stove and why da da da, then it's not the 3-year-old that looks crazy. It's you. And a lot of times it's the people who think that they're the adult in that situation. Really, you're a 6-year-old talking to a 3-year-old. And then they're like, well, why is it, you know? I'm like, no, you're the one who looks crazy because you're expecting something out of someone, not realizing where they are. And so to your question of like, you know, when you walk with someone, when you know someone a little bit more, you have accurate expectations, because you're like, well, maybe they are still cussing and maybe they are still doing this, but hey, did you know that they're, you know, they stopped this, this and that, and they changed this, this and that, you know? So it's like, it's not up to us to judge, but if something is on your heart so strongly that maybe you feel like there's a conviction or there's an injustice, then I feel like there's also an accurate way to go about that and approach it, because like you said, we can have discernment, we can judge, but how do we go about doing it in a biblical way?
You know, I put a critical spirit is not a spiritual gift, right? And so I wanted to read you this text because I think this text says a lot. And, you know, here they were pretty much calling it discernment, but, you know, Jesus calls it hypocrisy. And so this is the scripture I was saying earlier, but I'm going to read you Matthew 7. I think this is maybe 4 through 6 because it says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye? And look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye, right? So you have this huge log in your eye while you're pointing out to everybody else. So pretty much you're being critical when you yourself have a big eye, you know, log. And then this is what he says. He says, hypocrite. Hypocrite. Okay, I didn't know which one to look at, one or two. Hypocrite, first take the beam of wood out of your eye. So this is how you do it correctly. First, you take the beam out of your eye, yourself, right? Which, you know, depending on what part of life. But take the beam out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. So you're going to help your brother. So first, you whatever you're saying to someone, you better be walking that.
Yeah.
That's the first thing, right? Because don't be pointing out something on somebody. Let's say you're always late. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're running it now. So now all of a sudden you become the don't be late. That's not good. Unless you start getting on time. You know, if you're the person that's on time all the time, then you could tell somebody, hey, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
So, like, because you could actually see, right? So this is what he's saying. Take it out of your eye and you'll see clearly to take the splinter. He said, so you're taking the splinter out of his eye. Out of your brother's eye. Don't give, oh no, so this one, I don't know, I added in for fun. But don't give what is holy to dogs and toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, turn and tear you to pieces. Now, it's not what we're talking about, but I think it's a great verse when it comes to, like, when you're discerning something, there should be some holy characteristics to the way you're approaching the person, right? Because so the goal is to actually come alongside someone and help them see what they're doing wrong, not just tell them what they're doing wrong. So that they could act, you know, it's modeling
but it's
something.
Actually helping, you know?
Yes.
A lot of times we want to be like, oh, well, I'm judging or discerning. And I just want y'all to know because somebody needs to handle that or somebody needs to talk to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't want to actually do it. Why don't you go talk to them? Why don't you go help them with
hypocrite.
That?
Hypocrite. That's, I mean, that's what it said. That's what it's pretty much, that's what Jesus' issue. He's like, nah. Like,
so if you see it, I've had this literal same conversation with people before of like, if God showed you, and nobody else around you sees it. Because, I mean, I've had those conversations with you before many times.
Yes.
I'm like, Pastor, you know, I mean, I don't really, you know, I feel some type of way about this type of person or this type of situation.
Yeah.
And he hasn't seen it in those moments. And it's not for me to be like, you need to, you know. It's like, okay, what do I need to do? So then I'm like, okay, I need to pray. How do I handle this and that? Until the revelation is shown to him, and then it's like, oh cool, now we walk alongside and now we see together, not just like a sick'em, you know, like, oh, get them. There's these people are doing this and that, you know.
Judgment without relationship is condemnation, right?
Yeah.
So you'll start condemning people, you know. And I think we've said this too, when people are not in close proximity, they have always something to say.
Yeah,
right. I mean, because they're far. So they're only going off of, like, and we're trained to do that, right? Yeah. Your Instagrams, your TikToks. We're so used to what you try to see life through a reel.
Momentary, yeah.
It's not good when it comes to, like, just regular life. And we say, well, if they're training the mind to live that way, when you come into a natural relationship, you live like that.
Yeah.
You live off of moments. So this person must be that because this moment. And it's like, how do you know? Like, you know, you could be that. You could have, like, they always say in baseball and stuff, they go, you know, you could hit all these home runs and you could catch every ball. And then one game, you know, you go to the one game, they drop the ball and you strike out and they're like, that guy sucks.
Yeah.
They're like, he's the MVP, you know, but we do that in life, you know. And so.
But I think, you know, like you said, discernment is a gift. So if God has given you that to where you see flaws in people or you see poor character traits in people, then take it as a gift. Don't use it as a weapon. Pray totally. For them, you know, walk alongside them. If you're not in close proximity, mm-hmm. figure out a way to find yourself there, you know, of like, hey, this is weird, but, you know, kind of just want to pray with you. Or, hey, do you have someone to hold you accountable for this? Because I'd like to be that person for you.
Yeah.
But I think the enemy so quickly can utilize the spirit of discernment to turn it into something critical. And yeah. then it's just brothers pointing the finger at brothers. And it's like, that's not what that gift is for. No. It's supposed to be to cover, to, you know, support in prayer and to be able to walk alongside, to help, all not day to long. Harm.
All day long. And so prejudging, what it produces, broken relationships. Mm-hmm. So it'll break a relationship because you base, you treat people not based on what the word is saying. You treat people based on your assumptions mm-hmm. and opinions. You know, everybody got them, right? Mm-hmm. You miss divine appointments because you reject people that God sent to bless you. And so yeah. that's that, even that in itself, right, is like, man, if I am led by the Holy Spirit and I actually see what's going on with the person and I help that person, you never know who that person might become in the future. They may become great friends. They might become the business owner that helps you in ministry. Like, you just never know. And sometimes I think we miss divine appointments because we're labeling and prejudging, you know. Pride and spiritual blindness. When you prejudge, you get a pride. You think you're right, but you're actually blindfolded by your own emotions. And so I think a lot of times, I mean, at least in life, I've seen a lot of people that, you know, books come out about emotional intelligence. Like, that's, I think, what it's called, you know, when you can control your emotions. Mm-hmm. They call it emotional intelligence. You know, I just see it in the word as pretty much anything that tries to exalt itself above God, mm-hmm. You pull it down, you know. So if that's the importance of knowing the word, not just, you know, the word or the letter of the law killeth, but the spirit gives life. So just can't have the word because you're going to be dry. The spirit is kind of what gives you life when you actually apply something. Mm-hmm. So you, in those moments, when you feel the feelings, they indicate, mm-hmm. okay, I'm upset. But you just can't let that lead you. You know, you kind of got to stop.
Yeah.
You know, so you can actually pull it down. And for Ruthie and I, that was like huge, right? Because I was that guy that we're going to talk right now. We're going to. Yeah. You know, in life, you know, and you've been around me long enough yeah. where I'm like, I got to go tell him now. And it's like good and bad.
I'm like that too. Just not, you know,
you know, I've just had to learn that that's still good. Mm-hmm. The going to talk to a person, but I ain't like in the street. It was like, I'm going to go talk to him now. You know, now I'm like, I got to talk to them, but I gotta make sure I have spoken to the Lord, mm-hmm. right? Not just allow my mm-hmm. feelings. Cause you'll start speaking to yourself.
Yeah.
And you make it worse, right? That imagination yeah. becomes really real and you get yeah. upset.
Yeah. Someone said you're your greatest influencer because you're talking to yourself all day.
Yes. Yeah. I used to say the Holy Spirit speaks like this. Mm-hmm. You know, or either you or the
yeah,
Holy
or
Spirit.
You. Yeah, yeah, or you. The you. You've been, you. You've been talking to yourself all day. Oh, I can't believe they said that. I'm just like, what?
God. So what does it look like? Two things. What does it look like lived? Oh, so this is what does it look like lived out? A person who's not prejudging. He gives grace before forming opinions. Mm-hmm. He asks questions because you want to ask questions. I feel like questions Yay. Are important. You're like, yes.
Question.
You see, guys? The people that don't like questions, either, what was it? Oh, we had me and Ruthie got those screens that people can't see. You know,
yeah, privacy inside. Screen.
Privacy screen. And so, you know, the dude was kind of joking, but you can tell, like, world, you know, a little. He's like, oh, privacy screen, huh? Like, just in case, you know, you leave your phone or something, he said. And I was like, I'm actually, you know, I think he tripped out when I was like, I actually leave my phone around all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I really got nothing to hide. This is yeah. more for the nosy people. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
My wife, she just picked up the phone. I mean,
she's got all the codes.
She got all the codes. I go, listen, yeah. must have got the codes. Yeah. You know, so at the end of the day, asking questions, I think just it clarifies things, yeah. you know. You got to, because you want to seek understanding. Mm-hmm. Don't let one moment define a person, please.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here lately, I've heard people have left because I didn't say hi, you know, on a Sunday. You know, that trips me out. Like, it saddens me because I'm like, dang, you know, mm-hmm. like, they were like, here I am, you know, I want to give my life to the Lord. And you don't know what the person, like, realistically, you don't know what the person's going through. You don't know nothing. You don't know no behind the scenes. You don't know if they're busy. You don't know if he's dealing with something. And so to automatically label, again, I think that's not good. So seek on the, don't let it, one moment define a person, you know. Or don't let one season. That person could be in a season.
Yeah.
You know, which that's happened to me too. Where I've learned, I think we've talked about this before, where like before I understood Sarah, you know, Ezra Whitney's wife and like having an autistic kid, like I didn't understand it. So I was getting like, I was already like prejudging, you know, like, man, why are you late? And man, you know, and it was like bothering me.
Yeah.
Before asking the right questions. Right. And then one day she kind of like, why I gotta chase something? You know, and then it, we had the bump heads. Yeah, the exchange. And then wow, the more I understood, it just changed the dynamic of even how we treated each other. And, you know, now we could create, you know, some type of system.
Well, I think what you said was, you know, compassion in one of the
beginning
things. Compassion, right? Because I may not understand. Like, I may never understand, you know, people with parents with kids of special needs. Or if you're not married, you may not understand a married couple. If you're married, you may not remember what it's like to be single and deal with certain things, right? Yes. So it's like, even if you don't understand, you could still ask those questions to be able to articulate and show compassion in the way that's needed.
Yes, I like it. Look for God's work, not their flaws. So this, that kind of goes with the whole when you're walking with somebody, right? Look for what God is doing. Stop pointing out everybody's mistakes and flaws. I get there's a thing for that. Like if the person isn't, you know, trying to bring division, I mean, obviously you're going to address it. But I feel like some people are growing and everybody, it's almost like, ugh, you know, like,
what do you say to the people who are always like, well, we're supposed to judge, you know? And, you know, the people who go into the, maybe it's a different show, but, the people that say that basically, oh, you lean too much into the grace.
Maybe we'll talk on a show about judging only.
You know, judging in the appropriate time. In the
appropriate manner.
And how.
All that matters. There needs to be gentleness, patience, you know, slow to anger. Like, you're so angry. Why are you not slow to anger? Like, there's little things that show 2 Timothy
2:24. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've been studying that for 2 years. And it's almost like embedded in me, right? Like, when I see somebody that's like an opponent, an enemy, something, anything like that, I feel like, oh, it says to a servant of the Lord does not quarrel.
Yeah.
But he is pretty much patient, gentle to actually go to that person and teach them. Perhaps God will grant them repentance and they will escape the snare of the devil. So the reality is that it's just as much your responsibility to deliver what you're delivering as much as it is for them to act right.
Yeah.
So you're telling them they're not acting right, but you ain't acting right, you know, on how you're delivering it.
And how you,
Yes. So the person that is not prejudging, he is slow to assume and quick to love. Now, to put a bow on it, this is the person who is prejudging. So if you're out there and you match this one, you are prejudging, okay? You react quickly. If you're a person that you react to everything, you're a prejudger. Just letting you know.
Prejudger.
I don't know. By now, there's like
50
fingers.
I'm not going to try. I know my age.
Okay. You assign motives without asking.
Prejudger.
This is good. I like this. Uh-huh. Okay. Labels people by one moment.
Prejudger.
Mm-hmm. We got three more. You allow insecurity to control your view.
Prejudger.
Two more. You live offended.
Prejudger.
Oh, we got to go. Okay, the last one. You believe that your perception is always right.
Prejudger.
If you think are always right, you're a prejudger. Because again, remember, just because you're upset don't mean you're right. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm speaking to myself too, right? Mm-hmm. Just because you're upset, that pause, it's like Jesus is perfect. That quick to listen to what God has to say is so important because you will get offended and you will think everybody's wrong. So take a moment. So if you're in those last ones, you're a
prejudger.
That's it. I like that. You've, now you're like prejudger.
Prejudger. prejudger. I'm the prejudger of prejudgers. No, I'm kidding.
she's like, I am working on judging the prejudgers. And so thank you so much for tuning into a show, man. We hope that you have learned something. And remember, you know, a lot of these shows, we're not judging. We're just pretty much making you aware, right? Even if you fit in the last ones, it's not like a how could you? Mm-hmm. It's a be aware so that we could be better.
Yeah, it's just tools, right? And also experience. Obviously, we're not going to sit up here and like talk about every single one of our stories, but we share enough of, you know, those experiences to be like, man, we were there. Or, you know, we've walked with someone who's been there.
So. Yeah, as a pastor, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you've, you know, just I said to put a bow, but because you said real stories, like something that I kind of always have to work on, always, mm-hmm. it doesn't end. So let's say we have, we're not gonna say any names.
We're not gonna say any names, but it rhymes with.
But like situations, let's say, and I'm sure you have to do this in life, but as a pastor, I have to even more because I'm supposed to love the people, mm-hmm. right? Teach the people. I can't go with that lens. And if you experience something traumatic, like in the body of Christ mm-hmm. or in the church, you know, you might feel the tone of that in another person.
Yeah.
And you got to almost remind yourself, like, that person's not that person. You could be a little careful, but you can't treat them the same. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it reminds me of almost like this oath of ethics that doctors have to take.
Sure.
Of like, you can't just judge, you know, you have to treat people fairly and all of that. And I feel like it's the same way in pastoring.
Right now, if G and them were working, they should have found that code of ethics and gave it to us. So we could have.
But yeah, I mean, it's in that same vein of, man, yes, there's going to be people who have those same struggles or those same, you know, difficulties, but we have to protect ourselves from viewing that way and also not being numb to everything because you're just like, oh, well, everybody's like this, you know?
Yes.
But catering to each individual person's needs and where they are in life.
Yes. I felt right now like I was prejudging. G, are you doing anything over there that is stopping you from finding the code of ethics? G?
Producers, do we have a code of ethics that we can pull up and throw on the screen?
Did you just answer yes or no? No. Okay, so I wasn't prejudging. Just wanted to show you an example before we left. We love you. See you in the next episode.
Bye.
Stay real.
Peace.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.